right, let's take our text of scriptures from the book of Hebrews chapter 6. There are two scriptures I want to read, and you'll find out the reason in a moment as I begin to use it to explain what we are discussing today. Where I'm going is verse 12, but as usual, I like to read in context. I'll start from verse 9. He said, but beloved, he said but because there was things he said beforehand about people who are falling away and all of that, who have tasted the good word of the Lord, and then things went wrong with their faith. And then he said it's impossible for them to be renewed again to repentance. And I said, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way, that is, we are speaking in such a manner so as to warn you. He said, we are convinced of better things. Why are we convinced of better things? He said, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Now notice that word, the full assurance of hope, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now let me just read something from verse 13. Verse 12 is where I really want to read, but let's just go down a bit so that I can highlight some things. Notice that verse 12, it said, people inherit the promise that God gives to them through their faith and their what? Their patience. He said, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no other, no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Let me just stop there. Now, again, quickly open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 4. We'll read that, and then I can begin to round off the things we have been saying about the fruitful life. Please, let's bear in mind, fruitfulness is very important with God. God did not call his children into the earth just to get by. It was never his plan that your life would just be basically okay. If you read the parables of Jesus Christ, you will notice something that he used to say. When it comes to rewarding the servants, he will tell you that a man gave talents to his servants, and you see the disposition of the Lord towards the servant according to how they performed with the talents that he gave to them. God's purpose is that your life will be fruitful. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication is a plan of God for your life. A man that is fruitful, his life is characterized by multiplication. Do you get my point? He's not in the same spot every time you come and meet him. Do you get what I'm going to explain? And I really thank God that for, at least, I can give that testimony for Kingdom World Ministries. There's no year that has met us the same way. Are you getting my point? And if we are to plot it the way things have been going, in 10 years' time, even me, I'm afraid of what we'll be doing. No, believe me. Believe me. I know the way we started. My wife and I, we sit down folding tracts in the house, just tracts. Then the following year, we started teaching here. You get my point? And that one continued. Then books started coming out one by one. Then one day we jumped on radio. The following year, we doubled our airtime on radio. The following year, we added, a year or two later, we added the NTA. Put that NTA shortly after and then immediately went on Omega Channel. And now we are tripling our airtime in less than 3 months of being on Omega Channel. That's fruitfulness. Did I hear an amen? Is what? Fruitfulness. Let me just say this so that some people will understand. A lot of problems we have in Christianity arose from the fact that we misdirected the aim of fruitfulness. Do you understand? If you notice, I have not testified about how I had one car, then I have 16 now. I have not said that. Okay? It's the ability to bless people. Alright? It's fill the earth and subdue it. That's what we are talking about. It's what? Fill the earth and subdue it. No matter the number of cars you have, you can't subdue nothing more than you and your friends that are sitting inside the car. You're already subdued by the amount of wealth that's weighing you down. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Fill the earth and subdue it is to have influence. Alright? And I like to just explain this. It's not just for preachers. This is very important. Everybody, I've just given myself as an example because I'm doing the work of the ministry of the word, okay? But it's not only that. If you are building a business, you should have such a testimony that last year all we're producing was maybe 50,000 units of this our product in a year. But this year, we are now able to bless 150,000 people. That's a target. Oh, let me just digress. Let me tell you something. Christianity, oh my God, is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's the motive behind what you're doing. Today, as I was walking into my study, trying to get ready for this evening's meeting, I remembered one counsel that somebody gave me some time ago, a man of God. And I just remembered it, and I started disagreeing with it again. Do you get my point? So I was not telling myself that, okay, what was wrong with what he said? All right, so I began to analyze that. Is it that the method he's using? Yes. My first problem with when he was counseling me about ministry work, the issue was the method. All right? That, okay, it's better to do this thing like this and like that. And I realized that the method, they were wrong. I mean, by my understanding, okay? They're not correct. But it's not. That's not the main problem. I thought about it today. The main problem was what? The motive. The motive. It's when the motive is wrong, then the method starts going in every direction. When the main thing you are trying to do is not correct, you now discover wrong ways to serve God. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? See, in Christianity, if you get your motives right, you will be amazed at the kind of doors of opportunities that God will open your eyes to. You will see things that people did not know were present there. And what ignites that is your motive. Are you getting my point? I remember somebody has advised me, when we were just discussing, not really advising me, we were just discussing. Oh, they said he wants to go on TV so that he can increase his revenue base. We are both doing the same work of the ministry. And in my mind, I have to go on TV to increase my revenue base. That's why when they give you 30 minutes to preach, you will spend 15 minutes begging for money. Because you came on TV to increase your ability to get revenue. You become a marketer. Do you get my point? But no, you've heard me say it before. For me, look, if we can't pay for it, that means the time has not come. All right? If we pray to God and God does not supply the resources the way we can be proud of, there are different ways. Let me tell you, if you want to know whether God is with you or is not, if you cannot tell anybody at all what it is you are doing, it's only the results you can share with them, something is wrong. Do you hear what I said? Something is wrong. If nobody can understand with you how the job came and how you executed it and how you got the money, something is wrong. You are fundamentally doing something that is wrong, because it is not just to come and brag. God is not interested in just the results. He's interested in the process that went through your heart and through your life in getting that result out. That's what he's interested in. That's why he said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. The increase is God's. So God does not allow you really to brag on the increase. It is God that brings that fruit into your life. What God said a man should be able to brag about is that he can say, I know God. That is, when I was making my decisions and taking the steps, I took all those steps in the fear of God. Are you getting my point? What was I saying? I said Christianity is beautiful. All right? When you get your motives right, you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. Let me say this again. We're talking about the fruitful life. And I said I'm discussing how Christians get results. Listen, results are automatic with us if every other thing is right. Quickly, before you read out Hebrews and Romans chapter 4, quickly open the book of Isaiah chapter 40. We'll come back to Romans chapter 4. But just first, Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Now notice verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now let me just stop there. Now what is he saying here? If you are going to experience the glory of God in your life, it's not because of too much crying, but because of what? Appropriate preparation. Please, I've been emphasizing that. I just need to go over that again as a form of review, and then from there go into my message for today. We'll get back to that Romans chapter 4 in a moment. What I've been saying all this while is that this is how Christians get results. Let me summarize it. One, I said it's based on what? Promises. That the reason why you will prosper in life is not because you desire prosperity, it's not because you work towards prosperity, and it's not primarily because you're a giver. Why do you prosper in life? Because God promised that you will prosper. Do you know the reason why you will live long? Not because your genes are healthy. Not because you know how to jog. You can jog into the path of a moving trailer. Do you understand the principle there? So it is not because you know how to jog. It's not because you know all the health habits. It is simply because God gave a promise. He poured into the life of anyone who will love him. He said, with long life, I will satisfy him. And I will show him my salvation. Are you getting my point? So even though, all right, you go out and the doctor said that they've checked you. You don't look like you will live long. Tell him, I'm coming. Let me go and take my medicine. What is your medicine? You go and consecrate yourself to God again. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Then you go and say some things of the Lord. Then you come back and tell the doctor, let me tell you what God said. I shall live and not die. He said, how do you know? Because he said, with long life I will satisfy him. Once my love is upon the Lord, then with long life I will be satisfied. That is, the guarantee for long life for me is not that I know how to do the right medical things or take the right health, all right, precautions. No, it's simply because God promised and said, with long life I will satisfy him. Very important. Now, and I said that, having brought that one in mind, I said there are doors into the things that God wants to do in your life. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that. And I said that David did not just wish Goliath would die. David was not expecting one interesting manifestation. Let me tell you something. When David was going to kill Goliath, he was not expecting a miracle. He said, Pastor Man, what do you mean? A miracle is when you don't know what's going to happen. Something will just happen. David knew I'm going to kill Goliath, and he had this method plotted out for the way Goliath would come down. And Peter said that is the entrance into his own eternal kingdom. That is, God will show you something to do, which will bring forth his glory in your life. And Peter said, if you want to be able to know that thing, what you do is that you add to your faith, what? Moral excellence. Number one is faith. You must know the promise. Okay? And hold on to the promise by the word of God. And then this is how you walk. Now, listen to this. This is where I was going. This is what I wanted to remind us of. This is how you walk towards the manifestation of God in your life as a believer. You start purging yourself from inside. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. How do I get a very good wife? How do I get a very good husband? You can go for seminars. They tell you how to dress. I've read books like that. That God looks on the inside, but man looks on the outside. These men are still looking on the outside. Yeah, I know. I've seen things like that. They will tell you that. That men look on the outside. We're not saying you should not be righteous, but remember, men still look on the outside. They teach you all kinds of methods. How to talk to a woman, how not to talk to a woman, how to get a good wife, all kinds of stories. You know the one I see all the time. People will even tell you 725 questions to ask before you say, I do. Was your great-grandfather a juju priest? What difference does it make? I'm a royal priesthood of Christ Jesus. That's all that matters. What my great-grandfather was, none of my business. Whether he ate his wives for breakfast and sacrifice doesn't concern me. I don't care how many people he kills. That's his problem. I don't know him. My ancestor is the Lord Jesus Christ. All those questions, irrelevant. They say, you should know now so you can deal with it. Do you know how many things there are in life to deal with? Look at you. If you only deal with such things so you are not walking in faith. If you are constantly improving your life in the presence of God, don't worry about those things. So you learn all those methods, but God said, that is not how it is. And this is what I preach. How do I get a very good husband? I prepare to be a good wife. That's all. How do I get a good wife? I prepare to be a good husband. That is all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is all. I wake up in the morning and say, this is my anger. We must deal with it. This is my carelessness. We must deal with it. This is my rudeness as a woman. A woman must never be rude. One thing a woman must never be in life is to have palpable bad character towards men. You must never... Look, it has nothing to do whether I'm looking for a husband or I'm looking for a wife. The issue is that a bad thing is what? A bad thing. In fact, two of my friends those days. You know, there are times... I normally don't talk so much. What I mean by talk to my dad? My wife knows that. I don't like confronting people a lot of times. I leave you inside your wahala. If you don't want to do what is right, I won't say anything. But I remember two women who pushed me to the wall, and I talked to them. I said, look at you. Look at me, top to bottom. Don't I look like a husband? I said, the way you treat me is what will decide whether you get a good husband or you will not. Now, I'm not, the person I'm talking to, I'm not planning to marry her. But I'm just telling her ahead of time, this is how you sow a seed towards a good future. You treat men like me properly. You greet us nicely. You don't shout on us to shut up. You should talk to me nicely. I remember I told the lady, I said, listen, if you want to pray for husband, you go pray for better person way better pass me. You won't now. I'm your kind of vision for a man. Now, those are the things my wife didn't like to hear from my mouth those days. Interesting, I believed it too. It was later I found out that a lot of women didn't believe it. No, you know the interesting part? I believed it too. I wasn't joking. No. I thought I was the most handsome man in the world. I actually used to feel like that. You think I regret it? No! No, really. I felt that, look, I should be a prayer point for every woman. Now, I'm going somewhere. You say, if you just feel of yourself, no. That's not the thing. You know what happened? You know what really happened? I was so full of God. I knew that I wasn't an average man. I knew I would never die in an entity. I knew I was a blessing that God created for multitudes. And that it affected the way I walked, the way I spoke, where I went, and where I did not go. Therefore, I felt very wife with myself. You know what I mean to feel wife? Okay, let me give you a good an English word. I felt very good and glorious. I always had a smile on my face. And when you asked me, how are you doing? I said, life is good. It was later I found out that a lot of women didn't believe it. Later, I found out a lot of them thought I was crazy. But it didn't make any difference. At least somebody finally believed it. Do you get my point? And the glory of God is being revealed in her life. Oh God, I wish you guys would catch what I'm saying. If you just misbehave like me, you will get a good wife like I did. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, I just digressed into that, trying to bring out an issue. So the idea is this. We don't go out as believers struggling on the outside. You know what we do? We go inwards and struggle on the inside. Do you get my point? We pray to God to purge us of all things that are negative. We allow him to expose the hidden nonsense that's inside our hearts. Once he removes those things, believe me, the glory of God will automatically be revealed. Let me explain this again. You know, I said, I'm aging very fast. I mean, not physically in the body now, but in mind. I'm seeing a lot of things these days, and without trying to be judgmental and trying to curse people, there are people I look at. In fact, I was thinking of one guy this afternoon again. I was imagining that I will see him, and I know this will happen. I will see him one day in this building. And he will want to hide because of what he did to me. And I know, I will tell him, no, slow down. Don't run. I'm feeling sorry for you. He said, Pastor, let me tell you what happened. I said, no, don't tell me what happened. I can picture that's what he will say. Pastor, no, let me explain. I said, no, don't explain. I am feeling sorry for you. I'm imagining that in 20 years' time, you'll meet me in a corridor like this again. And you will say, Pastor, now. And then by that time, you'll probably be in your 50s. And you'll probably be poorer than you are today. And I'm saying it to you, not because I'm angry, but because I'm actually feeling sorry for you. I want you to repent. I'm not making that an issue. There's a way you are doing your life right now. I just look at this young man and say, prosperity can never come like this. When your reputation amongst people is that anybody who wants to do business with you must never give you money. And they warned me, and I made a mistake and gave you money, and you proved them right. That once they give you money to do a business, you will never complete it. No matter the prayer you pray, if that's your reputation, you're in trouble. No matter your prayer, what God does for you, listen to this, is that he will show you that, oh boy, this is your reputation. Then you and him will walk until he brings forth a new reputation for you that people will know you for good. What am I saying? I have noticed these days that you look at people with spiritual understanding. No matter how much they talk or try to look like, you know the way they behave, you know, this is a behavior that tended towards poverty. And this is a behavior that tended towards prosperity. At least this is the direction they face. Before we start discussing other factors that may affect it. I hope you're finding what I'm explaining. I discovered that thing that Peter said is so true. That for believers especially, look, let's not struggle outwardly. We struggle on things that matter. Let's assume I'm a businessman. I should struggle on the integrity of my words. Not on connection. Ah, you know that man? I mean, give me a number. Give me a number. You want people to network you with people. Listen, it's better now fail among small people. I don't know whether you can honestly explain. Yes, let all your bad character be known by small people now. So that not because of them, but because of you. So that you are not exposed to great places with this evil nature that you have. At least God can reveal your wrong nature to you so that you will work on it. And like I said before, nobody, no believer should ever say, this is how I am. Nobody should ever say that. If you see what is wrong in your character, repair it. If you see what is good in somebody else, emulate it. You develop yourself, you fine-tune your person. What am I saying? Once we are ready, once we have properly developed inside, the glory of God will be revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying? The glory of God will be revealed. For the Christian, blessings are automatic. I want to say that again. God packaged blessings so that you will be blessed. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I learned that one long ago. It's in recent times I began to believe it even more. I discovered that there is nothing that I really desire in life, all right? That if the time is ripe, I ask God for it and it will be a blessing to me that he won't give to me. One of the things that God helped me with is I learned how to just, in prayer, I just say, God, you know I don't need that. It's desirable, everybody wants it, but let's think about it. Apart from the fact that I want to show off, what are we doing with it? Nothing. There are things I want that God says this is not yet time. And I have discovered that when the time is ripe, but there are things that I did not realize the time was ripe, that God just pushes them in my direction because the time is ripe and I prayed for them years ago. Listen, as a child of God, oh God, I wish you would get this point. God is actually personally watching over you. Are you getting what I'm saying? What he's saying is that before I bless, you know what he told Abraham? Walk before me and be perfect. You can't carry my blessing without perfection in your life. I said to you before, the only difference between God and the devil is not in just what they promise. No, that's not where the main difference is. If you're approaching both of them, it's the quickness of results you first notice as a difference. What do I mean? The fellow who performs faster, his name is devil. He's the fastest performer. He's the one that will walk to you and say, bow before me, worship me, and I give you everything. Say when? Yenzu now. Right now. That's how it's for right now. Right now, you bow, and tomorrow everything is with you. That's the devil. God is different. God say, you come to God and say, dear Lord, you know I'm a musician. God say, yes, I noticed. I made you one. And I want breakthrough. I say, fine. Please give me breakthrough. I say, come. This is breakthrough. I hereby pour breakthrough upon you. And you go there. You live there expecting to wax an album and then he sells. It sells plenty. You do the first one. In fact, before they finish in the studio, everybody rejected it. Said, this one, we can't make any copy. We will lose money. So you go back, assume you could go and see God physically and say, dear Lord, I don't get the point. You just told me now that you poured breakthrough upon me. The Lord said, yes, I did. In fact, I can still see it. It's still right there. How come? The Lord said, wait. There is a time for manifestation. And that time is not just about hours, you know, days and weeks and years. I need a time. I need seasons to perfect my work in you. Oh, this is how it goes, my boy. Did you understand? You walk before me and you are perfected. And then this thing will come into full manifestation. Until that time, boy, the blessing will just be hanging like that. If you die with it, I will pass it on to your children. He said, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, what you will do is that you will walk before me and you will be perfect. The devil says, right now, and let me say this to you again. There is nothing, you know, I've said this several times, I just like to say it until we all believe it. There is nothing that the devil can offer anybody that God did not plan to give the person. If God never plans to give you, the devil can't give you. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you, for example. You know, there's no governor that God did not make. I'm telling you, look, is that what the Bible says? There's no head of state, there's no president that God did not make. If only they will understand, they will know they did not have to join any group of people going to Longos at night to be swearing oaths. Let me tell you something. Nobody can threaten you if God sends you into this political arena. They said that if you don't come with us, we won't agree. Tell them, don't agree. If God has made me, I will be, whether you agree or you don't. What people don't understand is that they think, all right, this is where they make the mistake. They think that these are the men that can make. No, they are just instruments in the hands of God. And for the child of God, they are the temptations of your life. God wants to see whether you will break the rules. Whether you do what is evil, so as to get the desired result. What am I saying? If God said you will never be president, you will never be president. If he said you will never be governor, you will never be governor. No matter how much money you have. We saw what happened in Anambra City the other time. Whether I got it legitimately or illegitimately, Andy Uba declared over 1 trillion naira in assets. I thought it was a joke when they told me. I went and asked those who should know. The person gave me the right figure. And you know God looked at him and said, you won't be the governor. You know that? He collected more votes than the number of adults registered to vote in Anambra State. And God looked and said, you will not be governor. He took the oath and became governor. And God said, so shall my word be. It will not leave my mouth and return void until it has removed you from that seat. If somebody can take a message to him for me, he should tell him that he should forget it. That if God indeed has appointed him, then maybe the time is not ripe. All this fighting up and down, going to one court after the other. Alright? If you fight God too much, he might get angry. Some of these things, let me tell you what. Let me just give this an illustration. M.K. Wabiola. That man was rich. That man was very rich. Nigerians have gotten richer over the years. So I don't know whether some of these are big men. Apparently as rich as he was, I don't know. But those days, that guy dwarfed everybody in wealth. He had so much money. I read this on the pages of the newspaper. What Abacha told Godwin Dabo. That go and tell him he's too rich. I can't release him. Can you imagine? A head of state. So they should tell one of the citizens that you have too much money. You are a threat to me if you are free. While he was contesting to be president, I remember one statement he made. I didn't hear it directly. It was credited to him. He said, how are you sure you will win? He said, I have given to Nigerians. They will give back to me. And Tony Bakare said, this is where I'm going. Go and tell my brother he can never be president. You know, Tony Bakare, that man is a prophet. You know, I told you before, prophets that only bless you are not true prophets. Somebody say, it shall be well, it shall be well, it shall be well. This year, your problems have come to an end. The next service, he shows up. He said, today we have a special minister, Prophet Chukwubike. All right, and he shows up. As I was coming, God spoke to me and said, I should bless my people. Just know, depends on the prophet. Either he's a backsliding prophet or just a practicing man of God. That is, he is not a prophet. Blessings are good, though. I did not say they are not good. Blessings are what? They are good. Except that I've read the scriptures. Most prophets don't talk until they struggle. Most times. I didn't say all the time. I said a lot of times. Most times. So when you know a real prophet, he tells you good. He warns you concerning evil. Those who only bless people, I told you before, they are priests. Priests, go and check the Bible. Priests don't know how to do any other thing but bless. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. And that's all they know how to say. When they want to curse, they can't curse directly. They open the Bible. Cursed is the man that breaks this law. Everybody shall say, amen. That's all. Those are priests. That's why they're always blessing. We have those priestly functions. You should bless your children. Bless your friends. Bless your wife. Bless people. Bless the nation. But real prophets, you don't know them because they always show up with blessings. No. Anyway, this is my gist. Tunde Bakari rose up. He said, somebody go and tell that my brother, because they are actually relatives, all right? Distant relatives. So go and tell him that he can never be president. All this will run up and down. He won't be president. With all the money my guy had, he won the election. I was in Taraba State. I was a youth copper at that time. I was in Kashaka local government, 1993. Coppers were, you know, electoral officers. I didn't go because I worked as a doctor, so I was manning the clinic. But my colleagues came back, and M.K. Wabiola won properly, even in Taraba State. He defeated Tofa in his own local government in Kano. With all of that, God said, you will not be president. Do you know what happened? He won the election. But according to the word of the man of God, like the Bible will say, the man of God has said, NLC will lose, but SDP will not win. True, true. NLC lost. Declare SDP winner now. Nobody could. Now, what am I going to explain? If God doesn't make a man a ruler, no matter how much money he has, no man can make himself. No people can make somebody. I wish they will understand that. There was a young man who came. I told the story before. His own was even a small level. Local government chairman in Ebonyi State here. And he dreamt, and God told him that you won't, no matter what you do, you will not be a local government chairman. So he said that maybe I'm imagining things. And again, in the typical Nigerian fashion, he worked hard, he won the election. Except that something went wrong. Except that unlike M.K. Abiola, he knew the hand of God. Like David, he knew what was from the hand of God. When people were fighting, he just relaxed. I said, there's no need. Guys, relax. The Lord said it beforehand, that we are not going to get this seat. This is a confirmation that God indeed is in charge. What am I saying? If people knew this, they won't join cults to become anything. They won't swear allegiance to anybody to become anything. They will go into their closets and swear their allegiance to God alone. Knowing that if he makes them, nobody can unmake them. Knowing that if he appoints them, nobody can change that appointment. They will pledge their consciences to God alone. If God is with you, listen to me, nobody, the whole house of assembly cannot destabilize you. I wish you would get the point of what God is like. This is how terrible God is. I say this a number of times because people don't hear from anywhere else. This is how terrible God is. If he says you will not impeach this man, and all of you insist on impeaching him, he will do to you what he did to Assyrian soldiers. In one night, he killed 125,000. There are no accidents in life. God knows how to remove people. He says, okay, you guys have agreed to go against my will. Watch me. Honestly, if men will understand this thing we are saying, they won't enter into office and be afraid of anybody. They will look people in their faces and say, wait. It is the will of God. I like one thing, Yinka and I were discussing in the car. We traveled together yesterday. And it reminded me of one scripture that the Bible says, many are the devices in the heart of a man, but only the counsel or the purpose of God will stand. You know, until that scripture came up in our discussion, the way I used to hear it is this. No matter what I devise about my life, it's only what God says that we stand. Do you understand? But as we're discussing, it came from another angle. That no matter what men, do you get what I'm saying, conspire about, devise in their hearts, only the counsel of God for my own life will stand. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? I went to all of this time to bring out an issue. This is how we Christians get results. We don't label outside. It's good to learn business principles. But this is what God is doing in your life. I said before, the reason why you work as a believer is not because of money. God gave you a job for two reasons. Number one, he planted skills in your heart and he allowed you to learn skills with time. So he said, go and bless people with it. The number one reason why you work is to be a blessing to somebody. I told you Christianity is very different. Our motives are different. Our motives are different. We don't just get up, right, trying to grab. No. If I won't bless you, I don't want the job. If the job will not add to somebody's life, I don't want it. If I will leave a place and nobody will notice I left, I don't want the job. I don't know. Do you get what I want to explain? If I would depart from a place where I'm working and nobody will notice by reason of the amount of impact I've had in their lives, it's not a good job. That's how believers reason. The second reason believers work, I told you, is so that through our interactions with people, through our interaction with the world, through our interaction with other believers, through our interactions with things in life, the hidden parts of our hearts are exposed. And then we can go through the proper purification. Because without that purification, what God planned to achieve through us will never be done. I read Isaiah chapter 40 to bring out that issue. God said, elevate the valleys, bring down the hills. What are we trying to do? We want to make a straight path for God. Once that path is made, the glory of God does not require begging. It is released automatically. He said, then the glory of God will be revealed. Please, I hope you understand that. Listen, I just can't get away from this. Your destiny is a result of a promise. You know what promises mean? If you go and read that Romans chapter 4, we'll read a bit of it in a moment. What Paul was trying to explain there is that promises were made before you did anything. I don't know whether I get my point. A man told me once, and let me tell you something. When I make statements sometimes, I'm trying to correct people from things that, they appear totally wrong, all right? But that they are low levels. We are advancing Christianity. Do you get my point? We started somewhere. One day the man, he was working for me and we're just chatting. And he explained to me that God is blessing him. Because he understood that prosperity is because of covenant. And when a man makes that statement, I agree with him instantly. Because actually, the covenant which we cut with God in Christ Jesus is what gave us access to the promise of God. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. I thought that's where he was going. Except that when he reads his covenant, I got confused. That is the covenant he has made with God. He bought God something, God will bless him in return. I looked at him like, what? That there is a keyboard he bought either in one church or in one fellowship. Anytime they are playing it, it is singing in heaven and commanding blessing for him. I look like, who deceived you? So what is his covenant? His covenant is that he buys God a keyboard and God puts music in his life. And I looked at him like, oh boy, who deceived you? That's not true. It's not true. Prosperity indeed is a matter of covenant. But what do you mean by covenant? There's a covenant that Jesus took a cup. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. If you drink of that cup, you are part of the new covenant. When Paul was describing the Gentiles, he said they were without hope and without God. He said they were alienated from the commonwealth. Notice the word wealth of Israel. That is, Israel had a blessing because of their covenant with God. And he said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth it power to get wealth, that he might fulfill the covenant, not that you made with him, but the one that he swore to your fathers. Do you get what I'm saying? So look at him and say, who deceived you? Yes, prosperity is by covenant. But not a covenant you get up and say, God, let's make an agreement. I will give you shoe, you will give me house. God said, do I look like I want to wear something? What am I talking about? That the promise was made, that's where I'm going, before you did anything. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not as if I gave God this and he's giving me back. No, no. The promise was made before you did anything. Today I will talk a bit, I hope I have the time, about this issue of giving again. So that, you know, it's a possible, God, you say it a lot. Because I hear the opposite a lot. Today is Saturday, right? Many of you go to your churches on Sunday, tomorrow. You will see here this one I'm trying to correct. Somebody was going to tell you that offering time, this is a time to open the doors of prosperity. So the worship time, the doors of prosperity were shut. The time you were preaching and I was agreeing and saying amen, I couldn't open the doors of prosperity. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. That is the covenant, the promise concerning prosperity, all right, was issued before you were born. Are you getting my point? And that is what guarantees your future. And you will see where we read just now from Romans chapter 6. He said, how do we inherit promises? It's through two things. Faith and what? Patience. I'd like to tell you something. You can't dictate time for God. Let me say it again. You do not have the ability. It is not one of those things that God puts in your control. The dictation of time. No. Your times are, that one, he kept in his hands. Let me say that again. Time. Nobody dictates time for God. A brother said once, it was reported to me, he said, now I am due for my breakthrough. I wanted to call him to say, who told you that? Somebody says, I have suffered enough. I said, according to whose timing? If you say you are tired of suffering, I can understand. But it is enough, you don't know. Let me tell you something. I want you to hear this. I believe believers should expect a miracle. That's it. Every morning, expect a miracle. Believe me, the miracle is like the day of the Lord. You don't know the day is coming. You know, Joseph, I always say, woke up that morning not even knowing that the time for his release had come. In fact, nobody plotted to release him. By the time he arrived at Pharaoh's palace, the papers of release had not been prepared. But the Bible said there was a time that his word came. That is the word, the promise that God had over his life. There was a time that that promise came to pass. When that time was right, the king sent for him and loosed him. Listen, when Pharaoh sent for him, he was not planning to loosen the man. But God knew that it was a time. I'm putting two things there. I'm highlighting those things we read. How do we inherit promises? He said it's through what? Faith and patience. What is patience? Let me quickly define it. We've discussed it several times, but we can't say these things enough. Patience is that I locate what is right. I do that which is right, and I don't stop doing that which is right, whether I get results or I don't. You know my results now. Whether God suddenly blesses me or he doesn't. Once I locate that which is right, I do it. Please, I hope you guys will be patient with me while I go through this, my troubles of this money matter. I just need to clarify it. You know the reason why I'm clarifying it? I just realized it now. A time will come, you will prosper so much, you will know what it means to prosper. Let me say it again. The time is coming shortly. That you will prosper so much, you will understand what it means to prosper. Amen. At such times, if you did not learn the right gospel, you will stop giving because now you don't need money again. Do you get my point? He said, yes, I have prospered. He said, give that you shall get. He said, no, I don't get what the one way I need. Forget that side. I'm okay. The Lord is good. What am I saying? I just want to emphasize this to us again in that area. That people said, give so that you might get. I said, I have a problem with that. The problem is that when I don't get, I get discouraged. Because in scripture, the hope that is defied makes the heart faint. I don't want to tell you to put up your hands, but I know many of us have gone through that. Somebody has said, this is this 5,000 that you will pledge. It's painful, but man of God, I will do it. And in 3 weeks, something strange is going to happen. The only strange thing that happened to you was that your hunger became more intense. You had never been that hungry in your life. That's the only strange thing that happened to you. The man said, if God doesn't bless you, come to my office, I will refund your money. Even you knew that was a very stupid statement. It is not possible that you will go and trace a man who's not from your town. He was invited by somebody to come and preach where you are present. How, did he give you a receipt when he gave the offering? Even you knew that it didn't make sense. As he was saying, you didn't even put it to mind at all. He said, God, forget it. They just go, just bless me. I'm not planning to ask for a refund. Are you? What are you? Walmart. I know, come on, it has happened to you. It has happened to maybe not everybody, but a lot of us. It has happened. Hope was deferred. Like I always say, because a man promised what God did not promise. What is godliness with contentment? Godliness with contentment is that, if I believe so much in that project, I believe it's for God. Or I believe so much in that person who's in need, and I want to bless the child of God. Whatever it is, and it's paining me as I'm doing it, but at least I know it's for a good cause. I had only 5,200, and I gave 5,000. I was ready to manage my 200 while I was doing it. It's called godliness with contentment. And like I told you, there's nothing like give money, you get money. That thing is shallow discussion in spiritual things. It's not that these people who don't reason it well are the ones that say it. I've even seen people go far and say that give dollar, you get dollar. Give pound, you get pound. I believe that they are just spiritual Alibabas. They were just cracking jokes. I don't believe the person was serious. Because like I said to you, you can't sow material things into the spiritual realm. Just like you cannot go to your farm and say, here is goodwill. You plant it and expect goodwill to grow from the soil. It doesn't work. You can't show the soil mercy and the soil will show you mercy. It does not work. Physical seeds have physical, the physical earth accept physical seeds, and spiritual seeds, the spiritual soil, which is the realm of the spirit, accepts spiritual seeds. So if I give, what I am actually giving is the motive behind my giving. So if I give money, I'm either giving kindness or honor. Because you give to a man, there are people you give to so as to honor them. So when you sow honor, you reap what? Honor. You can be giving as an act of mercy. So when you give mercy, you receive mercy. Mercy does not have to return to you as money. Why am I discussing that? This is what faith, this is what patience is. I learn to give and I continue giving whether God returns it or he does not. That's what patience is. Godliness with contentment is that I give, it's that I had 5,200. Now I have released 5,000, I have 200. I am willing to manage my 200. This is how men do things in faith. They say our God is able to deliver us. In fact, we dreamt that he delivered us. But listen, oh boy. Even if he does not. Our refusal to bow is not predicated upon his promise of deliverance. Whether he delivers or he does not deliver, we will not bow. That's faith and patience. Please, I hope you are following my point. Listen, we are ending everything now, right? I started by explaining that your life is based on what? Promises. But there is the thing you have to do to inherit your promises. And the Bible says it's just two things. Faith and what? Patience. There's something I want to explain about that faith. Because as I was thinking about it yesterday, I was praying about this teaching today. I said, Lord, what exactly? Because you know, if you remember last week, I started talking about the steps that we go through in our life. Alright? The five steps I refer to the message I preach on radio. in which I talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. I said there are 5 steps. I said I was going to deliver the step, develop them. Then afterwards, I said, no, why should I develop them? When I go home, I said, why should I develop them? Go and collect the CD. Listen to it. I taught them extensively on radio then, and there's nothing I'm going to say that will add to them right now. So I said, let me just leave that one where it is. I've already explained the 5 steps, that if you want to follow the way of God, your life will go through those 5 steps. There's this time of sitting down and counting. There's a time of the trial of your faith. And I said, in the time of sitting down and counting, you come out with what the Bible calls wisdom for your salvation, which is what I've already discussed. That is what to do. That's your own entrance into your eternal kingdom. All right? Now, all those things I will discuss in that message. So let me recommend it again. We have it available on one single MP3 CD, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. Please go and listen to it. I said, let me just finish my message by discussing this matter of faith and patience. All right? Now, so what is faith? All right? I just learned some things about patience. I'll still come back to you talking about faith. So as I was meditating, I said, okay, how did Abraham, being the champion example of people who live by promise, all right, how did he receive his promise? Then I remembered that scripture and I read it. And immediately again, I remember the book of Romans chapter 4. Because there, let's quickly go to that Romans chapter 4. Because there we saw Abraham's life analyzed. Oh my God, I realize it again. If you trust in God, you will never be put to shame. The fact is that a lot of people who claim that God is appointing them, they were not trusting in him. They were testing him out. Do you get my point? What were they doing? They were testing him out. Like there are those who went to church because they found out that 419 does not pay. Therefore, they went to listen to God on how to make money. But they still came for money. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Let me just chip this one in. I like to say many things this Saturday, all right? We're just learning, all right? Let me say it again. We said it before. Christianity is not about new methods of achieving the same results. You hear what I said? In your hometown, in your village, the contest amongst your age group is who will build the biggest house. Therefore, some boys went and read and read and came out with first classes and tried, and some managed, they got their jobs in oil companies and they are now directors and they are earning big money and they've built a gigantic house or gigantic houses in your hometown. So they are winning the race. Some didn't do that. They try reading. They discover that the race is not to the swift. So they, no matter how much they read, they could not pass. So they left that one and started doing business. Amongst them, some businesses did well and they made a lot of money. They have big shops in Idumota in Lagos. They have in Iweka here. They have everywhere. And they have also built their big houses. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amongst those who their business did not do well, some went into the crooked side of it. We call it 419 or drug pushing. And they began to make money. And then you, being a child of God, you didn't get that job. You started a business too, but you aren't going to push drug for anybody because you're a Christian. Or maybe you found out that one of the boys who tried drug pushing, he passed through Saudi Arabia and then beheaded him. No, Saudi is not they know they mess you. If they cash you with cocoa, they will use your head. You know? Maybe they will invest in pass through Singapore. They hung the guy. Now you realize, hey, man, this is a risky business. So you withdrew yourself, and somebody said, come to our church. Our pastor will preach until you become rich. Then when you heard the word rich, you went to church. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. And then when they say, who will give his life to Christ, you run forward. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I accept into you my life. Be my Lord and my personal Savior. From today, I will serve you. And you add your own line to it. All you need to do, just make me rich. Amen. You know that kind of thing. And you finish that. Now, listen, you finish that, no problem. Then the last 5 years, you've been serving the Lord. But listen to me, you have been serving him still competing with your age mates at home. You have seen him as another method to get to the same place that the other people are getting to. Let me disappoint you today. You're on the wrong track. You have not given your life to Christ. This is what Jesus does for you. He first changes your plan for life. He said, boy, oh boy. Say, yes, sir. In that village, no house for you. That is, start from the beginning. The race, the competition ends. That I'm not in the game of who can make who richer or richest. That's not my job. I have not called you to go and compete with jokers and ignoramuses who forget that when this earth will melt away, their houses will be the first thing to go. Are you getting my point? That no, I have called everyone who will answer my call to us to reunite them with my purpose for their lives. Not this one of your chosen houses. Listen, this is your first assignment. I make you poor. I'm serious. Said, the one you had before, I will take it. You either give it to me willingly, or I take it by force. There are different ways by which God takes things. He said, which is the willing way? Don't worry, I'll soon send an evangelist your way. Who wants to support the work of the ministry? I will tell you, boy, go and support him. He said, Bola, I don't have much now. See that house, go and sell it. Bring the money and give to the poor and support the work of the ministry. Said, Lord, this house, you know, see, this is the only sign that I was in Lagos for 16 years. How is it? So the evangelist will come and he will go. The poor will come, they will go. God said, fine. Everybody has seen that I tried the gentle way of collecting my money. He did not give it to me. The next thing you hear that Hurricane Andrew resurrected from his grave, passed through your village. He found only one thing to take, your house. You know the good thing, if really you gave your life to Christ, you will cry only for 2 minutes. Then you wake up and say, God, was that you? He said, it was me. Why did you do that? He said, because I asked for it nicely. You did not give it to me. Now I have taken it by force. And you know the interesting part, if indeed you gave your life to Christ, you won't be worried. You will just smile and say, God, now wow. Huh? One way or the other, Shah, you must just get your way. Because yes, what did you say? You gave your life to me. Your life is now mine. I need to say that to young people. This is Christianity. It's not another method of making money. It's not. We may not like to hear this. There are those who were rich and God will make them poor. And when I say poor, it doesn't mean they become poverty-stricken people. What I just mean is that they were doing businesses, controlling hundreds of millions of dollars. God said, that's one assignment. That one has now ended. I want to give you another job. Take the gospel to the depths of the jungles in the Congo. It doesn't mean you are poor. It just means that the days of $100 million businesses, those days have ended. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. And what I'm saying is clear to you. I just need to get that one into our minds. I don't know why my mind just went there. In Christianity, God took your life and is giving his own purpose. He's not trying to, you know, you're not going to use him to get to the village and finally drive down. Say, praise God. You stole to get your own car. You labored hard to get your own. I have brought mine by grace. My God is as big as yours. In fact, it's bigger. And you're talking that nonsense because of the size of the car. I've told you before, God is not confused as to his power. You are the one that's confused. He doesn't need to make you the richest man in the world to prove to anybody that he can. Because he knows that Babalawos, DBS, they do these things periodically. So when did he start competing with small guys on who can make who rich? I don't know. How did I get there? I don't know again. What was I saying when I got there? But I hope you've learned something from there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So I said that we're talking about inheriting through what? Faith and patience. I said we should go to Romans chapter 4. Okay, I remember what I was saying now. So I said that, look, the fact is that God never disappoints people. A lot of people who said that God disappointed them is that they were not serving God. They had other motives when they gave their life to Christ. They had something else they were pursuing. So it appeared as if God did not come forth with what the pastor promised. That's why he said God has disappointed. I remember one Christian movie watched in my house. One guy took the phone and called his pastor. He said, Pastor, he said, God has done it again. Pastor said, oh, praise God. Let me hear the testimony. He said, which testimony? I mean, God has failed me again. This is the fourth job I'm applying for. And he's doing the same thing again and again. Because he was a dedicated man in church. And let me tell you, okay, well, I don't know whether to announce it now. I'm still thinking about it. I will do a series of teachings titled How to Work for God. A lot of people are working and working and working. And they say, God, you are owing me. I've worked for you. Because they worked for who? I don't know you. Everything you have done was for yourself and Pastor Banky. And you think I owe you. I don't owe you. Who are you working for? Me? Will you stop that nonsense before I slap you now? Say, Papa, go, what? All the nights I did not sleep, thief, you were trying to make me feel bad so that I will bless you by force. Why you, in fact, is your problem you did not sleep. Those who I'm really blessing, the time you are awake, they were sleeping. You know why? Because I'm the one that neither sleeps nor slumbers. People who are blessed are supposed to sleep and slumber. What's your problem? I said, I gave. He said, you did not give. You invested. Lord, I gave. Papa God said, no, you didn't give nothing. It was an investment. Somebody said, give dollar, you receive dollar. You are waiting for the dollar. It's just an investment. That's not giving. He said, what do you mean? He said, oh boy, let's start again. Last 6 years, you were on your own. I knew you not. Everything you were doing is called the work of iniquity. I've written a book on it. It's in the press. It's titled How to Work for God. You will discover number one way. If you don't do that first thing, every other thing, nonsense. What am I saying? A lot of people who say that God failed them. It is because they are serving themselves and they are demanding payment from God. Can you imagine? I work for Federal Ministry of Health. I work in the hospital at the end of the month. And I go to Enugu State Ministry of Health and say, where's my money? And they now refer me to the Commissioner for Health. He said, Doc, sir, where's my money? Say, which money? You guys have not paid me in the last 5 months. Say, where were you working? I work in University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. They say, my friend, are you all right? That is University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. It's the federal government. This is Enugu State Government Office you have come to. That's what a lot of us do. When we say, God, I have saved you. Will bless me. And God says, Michael, where's the record? Did this guy ever work for us? Michael said, me, I've never seen him before. God, I was always in church. God said, hey, wait, you think that's where I mark my register? I mark my register first at home and in your common office. Oh, he's church. That's not the first place. Anybody who calls his father to come and work in Kingdom World Ministry is bringing problem upon us. You don't know that? You tell your father, say, don't worry, I will still prosper. Whether you bless me or not, I'm going to meet Pastor Banky. He will bless me. Abego, carry your wahala. Because the place I took the real register from that day, you failed. You failed. As you were going, somebody said, maybe one of your friends said, I've not eaten since the morning. Please, can you give me 20 naira to eat? He said, this is my only offering for today. I am going to trek to church so as to give the offering because I must never appear in God's presence empty-handed. You just left God's presence. You don't know. And as soon as you leave, the Holy Spirit inside that man who came to beg for money will depart. Then the man's hunger will disappear. Because he said, when did we see you and we did not take you in? When were you in prison, we did not visit you? Jesus said, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of my brethren, you did not do it for me. Do you get my point? That's why it's very important. I can pretend that God never fails anybody. Never. He never fails anybody. Listen, it's good to cook for Jesus Christ. Very good. But please, if your name is Martha, first you must learn the assignment of Mary first. That's why in Kingdom World Ministry, today I was attending Chukwubike. Some of you booked cities last week, all right? So you wanted to quickly make the cities. But because he had not pressed the enter button for the machine to start multiplying the cities, and prayer was already going on, I said, Chukwubike, shut it down. Shut it down. I said, this is a rule here. You know, you heard me shouting on the day, Chukwu. You don't arrange chairs while I'm preaching. What's wrong with you? Yeah? No. Nobody works. If I'm the pastor of a church, they say, who will do security? Listen. No, I'm serious. We'll have to arrange it. Every man in security is entitled to the tape for the day. If it's two services we run in the church, you can't do security in both services. You do security in one service, and then, and by the time we are needing security, actually, I think we have money. I'll go and hire a company. Everybody enter church and hear the gospel. Listen, if you see God's register and see man's register, you compare the two of them, you go shock. You will converse when you see that the person you have been hearing say, Babake, ultimate worker. God's the ultimate worker of what? Good or iniquity. Listen, oh God. You mommies are lucky, say I'll not be pastor of a church. I would disgrace people sometimes. In fact, they won't even bother come. You know, people soon know the kind of person that you are. They will know, they will soon know the kind of person that you are. No, they will soon know. Because all the people who, this year you are telling lies, I will bear with you. The following year, you are still telling lies. I sack you from every work in that assembly. The world is not working in you. The word is not working in you. The first work of God is inside. In fact, when I'm preaching my sermon for the seminar now, let's leave it. We'll come. I beg, invite everybody. How to work for God. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you see a lot of work people are doing, they're just throwing effort into the dustbin. You know why? Not because the work is not good. Like I always say, it's work we are doing here. I hope you know that. These lights didn't hang themselves. These cameras are not manning themselves. No, it's work. I mean, it's good work. Do you get my point? And believe me, I appreciate everything that everybody is doing. For those of you who helped me pack, I told you again, may God arrange your life the way you arranged my home for me. May God bless you and increase you in Jesus' name. As I've been packing from smaller houses to bigger ones, so you will increase also in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's important work. All right? But the important thing is this, first things first. There is a fundamental work that if we don't do, all the outward ones don't count for anything. That's what I'm emphasizing. Are you getting my point? Why did I say all of that? I was trying to say that God does not fail people. What did I say? God doesn't fail people. Those who say that God failed them is because they were not serving God. They didn't know how to follow God properly. Romans chapter 4. He said, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to him who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, that is, his wage this time around is not because of what he did. He said, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. And he quoted David there. Then he now said, is this blessing then upon the circumcised or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say, that's verse 9, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Now he went ahead with the argument, trying to explain that the man did not need the circumcision, all right, to become righteous, but circumcision was given to him as a seal of the fact that he had become righteous. Do you understand that point? And I said in verse 13, I just want to jump down somewhere. Verse 12, he said, and the father was describing this circumcision matter. Let me just read from 11. He said, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but notice this, but who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. Now, why did I read that? I wanted to bring out that word. I wanted to bring out that expression, in which he said, there are steps to the faith of Abraham. He said that Abraham, that the promise is for everyone who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. We talked about inheriting the promise. Don't forget, your blessing is what? A promise. Let me tell you what a promise means. It just means that God looked at you before you did anything and said, I promise by myself that I will bless you. Are you getting my point? One day, the person I'm talking about is not here. One brother, he walked up to me and said, I never asked God for anything. I said, why not? He said, because I don't know anything that I have done for him so that he will give me anything. And I started laughing. I laughed very hard. You know why I laughed? Because to me, it was so absurd. What I thought was basic understanding. That's why I said, next year, we are starting with Christian basics. We have to learn some fundamentals of faith again. It was so absurd to me that how can you say that you don't ask God for anything because you have never done anything for him? I said, you know my children. Then I had 2 sons. 1 4, 1 2. I said, what do they do for me? Nothing. Nothing. Do they ask me for everything? Yes. Daddy, I want to play a game. Daddy, buy ice cream. Daddy, buy me that cloth. Daddy, I want to go out with you. They are always asking for things. And anyone that I think is good for them, I do. They don't ask for school fees, I pay. They don't ask for a house to stay in, automatically there's just a house to stay in. I make sure they have bed to sleep on. They have food to eat at all times. They don't even know they're supposed to ask for food. They just go and eat. This afternoon, my son had a pack of, I don't know what it was, one of these funny things that my wife bought from somewhere. I said, what is that? He says, mommy, they're putting in the freezer. So why are you eating it? He said, the thing was just wasting there. I said, it was wasting. He said, yes, so it has been there for a few days. And the guy was munching away. What kind of chocolatey kind of stuff like that? He said, the thing was just wasting. So I said, why should he waste? I looked at the boy. I was busy preparing for Bible study. I didn't have time for lectures. So I just left him alone to be preventing waste. Are you this? Are you a dustbin? Gather up the remnants. Let nothing be wasted. Disciple of Jesus Christ. And my son is a man of God. The Lord is good. So I told him, mommy, that's it. And doesn't do anything for me. Well, he's growing now. He can run a few errands, but he's not getting anything because of errands he ran. What is it? Because he's what? A son. Just because he's a son, he gets everything. You understand the principle there? That's what he promises. I want believers to please shave their brain of this. I'm working a covenant with God. I have given him, he'll give back to me. No, around nonsense. You don't do that with God. You don't do that with God. What have you given him for your life? Nothing. A promise is just that the day you believed, God said, listen, you will not die, you will live, you will prosper. You haven't done anything, no. All you have done is just came forward and you believed. God said, for you to be willing to renounce your former ways and to take up my new life, that's all I need. It's called faith. Therefore, I account it in your life as righteousness. And righteousness is the excuse that God requires to bless people. So once God said, this is a righteous man, it means that everybody watch out. You touch him, you're in trouble. I said, how do we inherit it? That's what I began to discuss. We inherit these things because of faith and patience. But here, I wanted to go into this, but our time is up. We're now talking about the steps of the faith of Abraham. I wanted to title my message for today, but it didn't work out like that. I want to title it, How to Activate the Promise. Do you understand that? But let me recommend a CD to you. Activating the Blessings of God. Listen to them. And it's a series, all right? But everything. And then 2 of them are 1 CD. Activating the Blessing and Maintaining the Blessing. Total of 6 messages on 1 single MP3 CD. Look, God has helped us. We made those MP3 CDs very cheap. I think it's around 18 naira or so that Israel will give one to you so that you can listen to them. But please listen to it, all right? I wanted to title that, discuss that today, but I'll just use that next time to finish it. Activating the Blessings, all right? The promises. Because the fact that God promised something, that's what I want to say. Let me say this and I close. The fact that God promised something, all right, does not mean it must come to pass. Did you hear that? We have the ability to hinder his promise. We have the ability as people to hinder the promises of God. Actually, what we call activating those promises, you will discover is more of refusal to hinder. I don't know what I get. What I'm explaining. That you see, the promises come forth. They will have come forth automatically. Except that we often do things that hinder the promises. So when I'm discussing activating the promises, you will discover that actually what we are doing is most of the times refusing to hinder. Even when we talk about praying, because I'll talk about prayer briefly, you will discover that prayer is not actually to make God do what he doesn't want to do. It's to let him know that you have agreed concerning what he wants to do, and you are telling him you are ready. God, flow. If you become for a school of prayer, I'm discussing that. How Daniel prayed. Daniel did not pray until he discovered a promise. Daniel chapter 9. He said, I, Daniel, I discovered in the books the number of the years wherewith the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying in which he would accomplish the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And I discovered that 70 years was over. So I began to pray. Promise ignited the prayer. Do you get my point? Listen, we can hinder the release of God's promise into our lives, the blessings contained therein. We have a message in our series. I don't know which particular one contains it now. This message that's titled Poor Jonah. What did I call it? Poor Jonah. What did I mean when I said Poor Jonah in that message? Jonah prophesied, and what he said did not come to pass. And according to the rules of the Old Testament, that made him a false prophet. And several times, Jonah had been so embarrassed by God. That was why when God told Jonah, go to Nineveh and go and preach, Jonah said, not me. You dey look for who you go disgrace again. I'm not going. How do I know? Because when he prophesied, and what he prophesied did not come to pass, Jonah said, was this not what I said while I was still in my country? That you will make me prophesy and then you won't do anything. But God explained something to us. Paul was writing. In the book of Hebrews, he said, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That is, let me put it like this. They did not take the necessary steps of faith to activate the promise in their life. Most of the things we do as believers, they are actually things that we do so as to cooperate with our faith. I said all the things I said so that we'll understand something. I said before that an adult can be running. Is that he's chasing something? Or something is chasing him. Why are you doing what you are doing? Are you trying to bribe God, or because you have discovered that you have been blessed? There are things that if you don't do, it's because you have refused the blessing of God. Let me give an example. If the widow of Zarephath did not give to Elijah, it was because she refused his word. Are you getting my point? But her giving to Elijah was not what brought forth her blessing. The blessing was commanded before Elijah left the brook of Cherith. So James said, your works cooperating with your faith. He was talking about the steps of the faith of Abraham. He said his works cooperated with his faith. Therefore, his faith was perfected. What activates your blessing, your promise, is the perfection of your faith. It's the perfection of your faith that activates the promises of God in your life. I hope you've gotten my point.